Welcome back in everyone to a fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited to be welcoming back one of our truly wonderful guests to our show. Joining us, we have the performer Siobhan Carroll, as well as a new face, creator Haley Spivey. They're joining us to talk about their new site-specific show, MAB, which is happening April 11th through the 13th at a site-specific location in Crown Heights. You will get the details after purchasing tickets, and you can get your tickets and more information by direct messaging their Instagram, which is at Next Minute Productions. This is a really fun, kooky, crazy, like, there's a great trailer for the show, and it looks so incredible. And the fact that it's site-specific makes it even all that much more amazing. So why don't we go ahead and welcome on our guest to talk more about it. I'm the worst person to describe this, I feel like. So Siobhan and Haley, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for having us.
I'm excited to have the two of you here. Siobhan, welcome back. It's always so wonderful to see you. I'm excited about this show because it not only is it site-specific, but it feels very much like immersive in that sense. And the show looks, I mean, I was hooked after watching that trailer. I was like, what are we getting into? Yes. So Haley, why don't we start with you as the creator? You know, can you tell us a little bit about what MAB is about?
Yeah. So we first started kind of creating MAB back in, I think, 2016 or maybe latest 2017. So it's been around a little longer than it surprises me how long it's been about. But basically, it is a ghost story that is being played out of an apartment between three roommates who begin having troubles with each other when one of them has a boyfriend that the others are unsure about. And I think that's a scenario that many people have found themselves in when living with roommates. But what makes theirs different is, in addition to some general relationship issues, there's also a ghost that's hiding in their house that they have no awareness of. And it's kind of a moment where they're so caught up in their drama that they don't even see the horror that's sneaking around them until it's right there in their face.
I love that. Oh, that's so wonderful. Yeah, hitting roommate issues on two fronts there, you know? Yeah. So, Haley, where did you come up with the idea? Or where did you all come up with this idea, I should say, for this piece?
You know, I really do. I can't tell you the, you know, that first moment where you have the very first scene or character. I actually cannot remember for the life of me. But Siobhan and I were roommates along with another friend, and we had just graduated theater school. And so we're definitely in that phase where we're just like, well, we don't know what to do, so let's just make something ourselves. So the play was written with the goal of, let's just write a play that we can act in ourselves and we don't have to wait for somebody else to cast us. So the characters were really built around our own personalities and our own strengths when it comes to acting. And then that's sort of where the story started. When it came to the subject matter, when I was in college, I lived in a 5-person suite in undergrad. And there was one girl who I never saw her. I literally never saw her. I knew someone lived there, but I never put eyes on her. And then we had been living there for about 3-4 months. And I remember I walked out my apartment, locked the door, passed by these two girls on the stairs. We waved at each other. And then one of the girls pulled out a key and then unlocked the door to my apartment and then just went in. And I was like, oh, one of those two girls is my roommate. And I had no awareness that I lived with this person. So I just thought that was the creepiest and funniest living situation to be in. So I kind of got really interested about living situation where you have three people who are deeply connected with each other and they're always talking and they're huge parts of each other's lives. And then you have a fourth presence in a home that it is affecting everyone, but they're completely unseen by the characters, yet the audience gets to see a lot more. So I also love ghost stories. So I was like, I want to do spooky theater. I don't feel like I see spooky, haunted theater that often.
Agreed. I love the more spooky, thrilling theater that's been coming out. I mean, when Greyhouse came out, that's where I feel like a lot of things came out of the woodwork. And I was like, yes, scare me a little bit. Siobhan, I wanna bring you in. I wanna know, how did you come upon MAB? How did you get involved?
Well, Haley hinted at this a little bit. We were roommates. So we lived together right as soon as we graduated. We lived together our senior year. And then as soon as we graduated, in addition, our third cast member ended up living with us under kind of bizarre circumstances the year that this play began being like conceptualized. We needed an emergency replacement in a show that I was in, so she moved in with us spontaneously, and now she is also in the play. So yeah, I kind of was just lucky to be hovering on Haley's shoulder when she came up with this idea and continue to prod her and say, "I want to be in it, please
I mean, it's
let my
so
character
funny.
live."
From my perspective, it's just kind of like Siobhan was there from moment one. Like because I would be in my bedroom and then come out and be like, "Okay, I just wrote 17 new pages. Stop what you're doing. We have to read them now." And then we would just like sit together in our like kitchen. We had this like tiny kitchen because we did not have a living room. We just had a hallway where you put a little futon, and we would just like sit together and then read the one random scene. And then we just did that many times until eventually it was enough scenes to become a play, really. But yeah, Siobhan is like, I think I realized I love writing for actors because, you know, if you're familiar with an actor and you know what they're capable of, or maybe there's some things that you know they can do, but you just haven't seen them do it yet. So Siobhan, I just feel like has been just an inspiration to the piece. So you just, there was no time where you were not attached to this.
Thanks, Haley.
I love you.
I love that. Well, the time of recording, we're just under 2 weeks away from the show opening. I would love to know, starting with you, Siobhan, what has it been like developing the piece?
It has been a whirlwind. It's been great. This most recent rendition came about because I was very lucky. Haley moved to New York, what, within the last year? Is that right, Haley? And was in our last show that we were on this podcast for, Friends, Lovers, and Others. And I went over to her apartment for a hang, and I was like, "Oh my God, you live in such a cool, creepy place." And we kind of jokingly were like, "Remember that awesome play that we've always wanted to do in an apartment? Wouldn't this be the perfect apartment for it?" The things that Haley has let us do in her apartment and that her roommate has let us do in her apartment are crazy. We spent a lot of time improvising around the script. We often came back to the like genius script that was written, but Haley was very kind and let us spin out about it a lot. So yeah, it's been an adventure making a play that fits into a really cool location.
So wonderful. Haley, I mean, I'm going to come back to you as kind of the creator with this great show regarding, roommates and conflict, wonderful ghost story. Is there a message or a thought you hope that audiences take away from that?
What's interesting is when we were first creating it, I don't know if I walked into the play having an agenda per se. It was because I think at this time it was right in the midst of the hashtag MeToo movement, where a lot of women were just talking about sexual harassment and assault experiences with people who were close to them in some way. And so in the play, one of the issues is that one roommate does not feel safe being around the other person's boyfriend. And for me, the story kind of is an exploration of where does our loyalty lie and how do we take care of people? What happens when you have two people you love and one person you love is harming the other person you love? And what is your responsibility as the person that sits in the middle of that conflict? And then what happens to a healthy environment or community when there is an abusive presence in it that is affecting everybody, but there's not a clear way to remove them? Or the question of should they be removed? Or my favorite question is how bad does the issue have to be before action is taken? And I think that's just something that we're all in our own ways and lives, really dealing with the question of like, when is it time to step in? And then I also think of, with the ghost that lives in this apartment, it's how long can something be hiding in the shadows before it becomes dangerous? And what do you do once kind of like the ghost jumps out and says, boo, okay, now you know there's a ghost in your house, but what next? So yeah, so I think really the play is about like, it is a very woman-driven show, but it definitely could be performed with people of all genders for sure. Our iteration of it is very woman-focused, but I do think it's a lot about sisterhood and loyalty and trauma and how we all as individuals cope with it.
Love that. Wonderful ideas being thrown out there. My final question for this first part, I'm going to ask both of you, and that is, who do you hope have access to MAP? And Haley, let me start first with you on that.
Yeah, I think so right now, just because of the nature of the show and it's being done in my apartment, it's definitely just being very small, intimate audiences. I think this would be a fantastic piece to travel in areas that have large college presences because it also talks a lot about rape culture and drinking culture and how the two overlap each other. I think it would be extremely satisfying for young audiences. Also, I think the play is something that I think makes it a little untraditional is what I keep saying is it feels like a musical without it being a musical. So I think for people who love the pizzazz and the flash and the fun and the crazy, you don't see what's going to happen next energy that comes with musicals. But then there's some people who just aren't drawn to that kind of performance and really like things that maybe takes itself a little bit more seriously or feels like it really could be happening to somebody. I think it's a play that hits that middle ground so perfectly. So I think for people who, in our last run of it, we had a lot of people who had never really seen theater before or maybe has saw The Lion King when they were in the 10th grade and that's their extent. And I would say those were the people who I think were the most taken by it because it really changed their way of what theater could be because it took place in an apartment in a home and it was like we have you can hear the water running in the kitchen, like if someone's making a meal you can smell them making the meal, and it I think brought to life a different type of performance than a lot of non-traditional theater goers thought would be possible.
So cool. I love that. You are playing with all the senses in this. So I love it. Siobhan, how about you? Who do you hope have access to this?
Yeah, I can add on to that. I agree with everything that's been said. I think this show has great potential to tour. And I think another thing that we're really cool and really excited about the show is right now it fits perfectly into the space that it has been created in. But like a beauty of the show is that it does not need to fit into that space. It actually, a cool thing that we have discussed with the show is it could easily transform to any space. So we would love we would love to take this to other site-specific venues. I think it's like a great option to get set up in like other cool apartments in New York, creepy mansions across the country. So I would love to see people. This is an encore performance. We performed it last time for, as Haley said, some like great audiences and got some really exciting people in who were really thrilling to have in the audience because they weren't like your typical theater going crowd, I think sometimes. But this time, I would love to see like producers turn up, to be completely honest. I think this show has a lot of potential, and we'd love to talk to people who want to help us like move this around. And I think that the show is will really benefit from moving around. I also think the show is for anyone who likes, as you kind of acknowledged at the beginning of the podcast, Andrew, like immersive experiences. It's for anyone who likes escape rooms. So yes, if you're the type of person who thinks that you're going to be bored sitting at the theater, I can almost guarantee that you won't be at this. The play starts in a really fun, grounded place. So if you like classic TV dialogue and a bunch of ladies fighting each other, you're going to have a ton of fun. And if you want to see, as Haley said, it kind of expand to like a cool musical place, you're gonna get that too, and it's gonna take you on a wild ride.
Well, for the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And Haley, I'm going to start with you first on this, since you're new to us. What or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
Yeah, for sure. So I think when I was like still a student and kind of learning what I loved about theater, I saw We Are Proud to Present by Jackie Sybil Drury with Company One Theater in Boston. That play is about a group of actors putting on a performance about a genocide that happened in Nambia. So it goes from just like super feeling very American, like we are, this is the world that we live in. And then it will go from just like actors chatting in a room and then drop you into a different country and a different time, going through a horror that is difficult to conceive of. And then it would switch you right back. And the way that those worlds would switch so quickly and fluidly, it shocked me. I didn't know theater could be like that. It was done in this just like giant open space where they had like headlights, like overhead lights on, off, and then, as it was directed, then it was just like natural lighting for the rest of it. So it was just very creative. I saw The Jungle by Joe Murphy and Joe Robertson. Oh my gosh, I think that's probably one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And again, it was that I think it's something about the environment. When you take a play and it's not just like you're sitting in the seats watching, and you give the audience a physical sensation where you kind of shake them up physically a little bit. Like, so you have the actors standing behind you, and typically they're in front of you, and then like, something comes from the ceiling or something. When it's just more like kind of what you mentioned earlier about like really using all of your senses. Those are the shows that for me just always are able to capture my attention and maintain them. And I think in my own writing, I'm really drawn to that as well. And I see both of those shows. I can see how they've inspired the way we went about creating MAB.
Wonderful inspirations there. That's very cool. Siobhan, as a returning guest with us, I want to ask you, how did you come into the performing arts?
It's a long story. There's a lot of, Haley was talking about like the moment of what, like inception or becoming a while ago. There's a lot of moments. I sometimes think the moment was when my mother made me watch Romeo and Juliet when I was 6 years old. I sometimes think it's when I started taking theater classes at a local place in Cleveland, Ohio called the Beck Center for the Arts when I was about 11. And that's where I did my first play. It's probably truly, when I truly came into the arts is probably when my mentor, Mitchell Fields, convinced my mom to let me go to a performing arts high school. And that was really a really transformative way to escape a traditional high school experience, which was not working for me. And the people who taught there were just amazing and taught me what theater and acting really is. And I have never stopped since.
I love that. That's so fantastic. Haley, let me come to you with this next question. What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Oh no, that I oh, you can't ask me that. What is my favorite? I don't have words for it, to be honest. But the thing that I learned when I first graduated college and like, your early 20s, everything felt hard and difficult for no reason. And what I found was I had this motto of theater always makes it better. Like, it never mattered what mood I walked into rehearsal. Didn't matter if the rehearsal was wildly unsuccessful and everyone was kind of snapping at each other. I would still always walk away being like, okay, but I feel better than I did before walking in. So I feel that way before I read a play. I feel that way before I see a piece of theater while I'm just having a conversation about theater. It just is the thing in my life that makes everything better. I don't know if there's a logical reason as to why, but that's just a feeling I've had my entire life. And I'm like, I don't know if I could continue the rest of my life without it being a part of it in some way.
That is such a lovely answer. I love that is a great motto. Someone put that on a t-shirt. Theater makes it better. Amen. Kind of snowballing off of that, Siobhan, I want to know what changes would you like to see made in the theater?
I don't know that I can give the most intelligent answer. I would love us to tag team it. I mean, there's a lot that I would like to see change in the theater. I think a lot of it is being addressed on pretty large scale level. Theater is controlled a lot by money and power, and I think a lot of us are interested in just seeing that shift. It's not something I can speak probably the most intelligently too, but it is something that I feel passionate about. Very recently, I don't know if this is something I want to see change in the theater, but it's something I'm concerned about in the theater, which is just how tech focused our society is becoming. And right now I love pieces of theater that play with tech and theater, but I don't know if we're like getting ahead of the curve as fast as we need to on it. So again, that's not something that I can like really say like concretely how I want it to change, but it's something I have my eye on. And again, I mean, the largest conversation is having just more diversity and inclusion in theater, and I don't think that can really be overstated enough in the current moment, seeing more representation on screen and on stage. And that's definitely something that I think I feel passionate about, and that this play feels passionate about as well.
It's funny that you said tech because I was thinking about that also. Where I think for me, I kind of agree with your saying that this is already happening. So, but I'm excited to see more of it. For me, when it comes to tech, I have to think about we're really competing with like film, right? When you're like, what that is the big people who love film just don't go to see theater. Why is that? And I'm sort of like, ooh, how do we create a live performance that tells a story in the ways that plays and film do, but creates a physical experience that cannot be recreated in a movie theater or at home? And I am very interested in straight play. I'm not a musical theater person because I can't sing. So this is me speaking out my own bitterness of not having an incredible voice. But I love the idea of straight plays that are really infused with technology. And so, for instance, I love music, but I love like EDM house music, right? So, if I go to like Coachella or a big thing, you have these lights and tech and drones and like things that make physically being there so alive. And I'm like, I think there's a way to take all of the tech that is being used regularly in concerts and stuff and infuse it into straight plays or even musicals still. And so you can still feel like a live performance is exhilarating in a way that cannot be created just sitting down in a seat in a movie theater or on your own couch.
I think that's so. I'm sorry, I'm going to add one more thing to it, which is exactly. And I agree with you. And I think what you're saying is the most important thing about it, Haley, which is what unique experience is the tech really creating, right? Because a lot of the couple plays that have a lot of money, they're using a lot of tech, but I don't know if it's being used that well. I think a lot of money is being allocated to like risers that lift people into the sky. And like we know a person can be lifted into the sky on a Broadway stage. I'm still going to go see Wicked and I love it. But like, I just don't think we need to keep doing that. I think we need to kind of do what you're saying, Haley, which is like, how can this new piece of tech make it meaningful that I'm here and that it's doing something unique?
I love that. Brilliant answers. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory? Or, Siobhan, in your case, what's another favorite theater memory of yours?
Okay, I'll say this. When Siobhan and I, we went to the same school where that's how we met each other. There was when you're freshmen, you weren't allowed to be in plays. And they had a class that was dedicated to a performance hour. So you can't be in plays, but if you want to do a monologue or if you want to like sing a song, come here and this is the place where you can perform those things. And so we would treat it like it's a really big deal. I remember there was this one day where all of the people who were racial minorities in the school, in the class, decided, like, let's get a piece together so we can talk about the experience of being a minority, but we're all different minorities. So it's going to be like collaborative and we're all going to have a moment to talk about our individual, experiences. We got together at the end of the day after all the classes and stuff. And I don't think we were able to start creating it until like 9 p.m. And I remember we were in a black box theater until 5 in the morning for this class that was all it was a showcase for a single class. We would do it once, but we were all just hearts filled with excitement and energy, and the hours just flew and flew and flew. And then we did the performance, and people were very moved by it, and it went as well as we had hoped. But it was something about, for me, that was like when I was like really at the beginning of taking the career seriously as a professional. And it really taught me, I was like, whoa, if you love a project, and this is how it was when we built MAB also, it's incredible the amount of energy you find. And you don't have to sleep when you're you should sleep. I'm not advocating for like not sleeping, but but sometimes you get carried away. And when you're at the group that's willing to get carried away with you, it's such a beautiful experience.
I love that memory. Anyone who's studied theater in college, I mean, we've had something like that. So I just love the passion and everything in that. Thank you for that. Siobhan, what is a favorite theater memory of yours?
Oh, I always struggle with this. It's like, how can you pick one? And I'm torn as always. My favorite theater memories always, and I wish I had like a great story of one, are just something that is ridiculously hilarious in the moment. There are always things that are pretty much only funny to me or only funny to me and the person that I'm working with. So I'm just gonna throw out our another one of our cast members' names, Alex Casillas, and every time she and I can't stop referencing SpongeBob on every project we've ever worked together. Haley is rolling her eyes. She's had to really control us. Haley is there for a SpongeBob reference, but sometimes it's just not appropriate. Alex and I toured multiple high schools doing a production of Romeo and Juliet, and the students sometimes would make really, insightful observations about the play that we were doing and just like have this beautiful like high school like insight into the play Romeo and Juliet, and all that we could say to them was Plankton's correct. And that's what we like to just scream at these high schoolers. So that's the one I'm gonna pick today.
I think the one I heard the most in rehearsal was, "Who are
Because who are you people is really important in this production of MAB.
I love that. What fan? Yes to all that. Fantastic memory there. Fantastic memories from you both. Thank you both so much for that. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Well, Siobhan, I feel like you are always doing 20 million things. It's very funny, and it's probably only hilarious to me. This is something that our next project that we're doing together is we are going to make a mockumentary about the making of this play from the point of view of my roommate, who is not a theater person, but she would just be in her bedroom listening to us rehearse and then rearranging the entire apartment and like coming in and out all these strangers, and just like it was just a very hilarious experience. And then just the making of the play was ridiculous. So we just have this great idea where we're like, we just want to recapture the experience we had creating this very strange play, and then do kind of like a video format of it. So that will not be out soon, but it is the next thing that's on our like to-do list once we finish our run.
Truly doing God's work. That is amazing. Yes. Siobhan, anything for you?
Agreed. Watch out for that documentary, which is not only funny to Haley, it's funny only to Haley and also me. So we're very excited to make it. In addition, please, you can always follow my work at Next Minute Productions. Our most recent thing that's on the horizon is our web series, Survival, a Side Hustle Day Job web series is coming out. It's doing the festival circuit. It was co-created by Imogen Finlayson, the co-founder of Next Minute Productions. It was directed by, I'll say his name 3 times for good luck, Mitchell Fields, and it will be out soon.
Amazing. Love that. Well, that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners want more information about MAB or about either of you, perhaps they want to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So you can definitely reach out to me via my website, which is hspivey.com. My Instagram is private, but if you send a nice little message, that's also fine. But it's HAY underscore LYLY.
If you want to learn more about MAB, nextminuteproductions.com has a page about it. Again, the best way to get tickets, because this is invite only, is to DM us at nextminuteproductions.com on Instagram. And you can follow me at Siobhan underscore Carol on Instagram.
Wonderful. Well, Siobhan, Haley, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me. Siobhan coming back on and bringing us this incredible show, this really wonderful, thrilling, immersive, just awesome experience show that you are creating. Thank you both so much for that. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having us. This was so fun, and I really appreciate you lending your platform for our beautiful little play.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, truly. My guests today have been the amazing performer, Siobhan Carroll, and the creator, Haley Spivey, who joined us today to talk about their new production, MAB. It's happening April 11th through the 13th at a site-specific location in Crown Heights. You will get the details about that following your ticket purchase. And if you'd like to get tickets and more information, send them a direct message on their Instagram, which is at Next Minute Productions. We also have some other contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But make sure you hurry and get your tickets now. There's not that many available. It's not a huge space. It's very intimate, very exciting. The show again is MAB, happening April 11th through the 13th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
And keep talking about theater
in a stage whisper.
thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a five-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.